This is a Kim Monson, Colorado news briefing. Front Range Rail Bill SB26-172 advances, with appointed sub-district boards holding ad valorem taxing power. SB26-172 expands the Front Range Passenger Rail District and lets its appointed board carve out sub-districts whose own appointed boards inherit Colorado special district powers, including ad valorem taxes once debt is incurred and negotiable coupon bonds. Senate Appropriations takes up the bill Thursday. Colorado Union of Taxpayers opposes. Denver. Colorado's Front Range Passenger Rail District would be empowered to divide itself into sub-districts whose appointed boards inherit the financial powers of any other Colorado special district. Under Senate Bill 26-172, the bill heading to Senate Appropriations on Thursday at 8:30 in the morning in Legislative Services Building Room. B. Those powers are listed in Colorado Revised Statute Section 32-1-1101, the Common Financial Powers, Chapter of the Colorado Special District Act. They include the authority to levy and collect ad valorem taxes on all taxable property within the special district, the authority to levy taxes when indebtedness has been incurred to fund reserve accounts for interest and operating costs, and the authority to issue negotiable coupon bonds. Any new tax established by the district or by any subdistrict still requires voter approval at a statewide general election or on the first Tuesday of November in an odd-numbered year, per Section 4 of the bill. The legislation is sponsored by four Democrats, Senator Nick Heinrichsen of Pueblo, the lead Senate sponsor, Senator Kathy Kipp of Larimer County, who serves as President pro tempore, Representative Andrew Bozenecker of Larimer County, who serves as Speaker pro tempore, and Representative Amy Pascal of Colorado Springs. The Front Range Passenger Rail District itself was established by Senate Bill 21-238 to plan an interconnected passenger rail system along the Interstate 25 corridor between Wyoming and New Mexico. According to the bill's initial fiscal note, the existing district is governed by a board of 17 voting and 7 non-voting members and is already authorized to seek voter approval for taxes, assessments, or bonds. What SBB 26-172 changes. Section 1 of the pre-amended bill enumerates 30 municipalities whose entire territory is included in the district by operation of law, from Fort Collins South to Trinidad and Starkville, and including Sterling Ranch's metropolitan districts in unincorporated Douglas County. North Glen was on the introduced list, but was struck on April 27 by a Senate Transportation and Energy Committee amendment requested by Senator Kyle Mulica, Democrat of Adams County, whose district includes the city. Section 2 requires that any director appointed to the district board on or after July 1, 2026 reside within the district, while preserving the appointments of directors already serving. Section 3 is the structural change at the center of public debate. It authorizes the existing district board to divide the district into one or more sub-districts under the procedures of CRS 32-1-1101, and provides that each sub-district has the same board, powers, duties, function, and form as a sub-district created under that statute. The voting members of a sub-district board must either be appointed by an entity that includes territory within the sub-district or reside within the sub-district. Because Colorado's Special District Financial Powers section grants a special district board the authority to levy ad valorem taxes on all taxable property within the district, to levy taxes for debt servicing reserves once indebtedness has been incurred, and to issue negotiable coupon bonds, those same powers extend to subdistrict boards by reference. Any new tax, however, still has to clear the voters of the affected district or subdistrict per Section 4. The same section also requires voter approval for any multi-fiscal year debt subject to TABOR. The testimony angle. Mike Rawluck of the Ralston Valley Coalition, who testified in opposition before the Senate Transportation and Energy Committee and discussed the bill on the Kim Monson Show Wednesday, told Kim Monson that the structural concern is representation. Just a concept that I'm wrestling with more than anything right now is the fact that boards of appointed districts or boards of appointed situations can actually be conferred the power to raise your taxes, yet they're unelected, Rawluck said. Rollup projected that the Real District will refer a half-cent sales tax measure to the November ballot and used Arvada, which under the bill is included in the district but would not host a station, as a worked example. Adding a hypothetical 0.5% rail tax to Arvada's current 7.96% combined sales tax rate would put the city at 8.46%. The half-cent rate is not specified in SB 26-172 itself. The bill creates the legal mechanism for the district to refer a tax measure rather than authorizing a specific rate. Rolla characterized the inclusion criterion sponsors articulated in committee as a station within 5 miles of 20% of a jurisdiction's population. The bill text itself does not codify that numeric threshold. Section 1 lists municipalities by name. On the sub-district question, Rolla pointed listeners to the cross-reference. Front Range Passenger District will now be able to create sub-districts, and they get the power of A. Was it 32-1-1101? I know it's just a CRS reference, but common financial powers definition, he said. He read the operative subsections aloud, including the language conferring the power to levy and collect ad valorem taxes on all taxable property within the special district and the authority to issue negotiable coupon bonds. Cut opposes. The Colorado Union of Taxpayers, the nonprofit where Kim Monson serves as president, has rated SB 26-172 as a strong NO. In its 2026 Tracked Bills publication, the organization wrote, RTD is a huge drain and strain on all taxpayers and has been for decades. It has never had the ridership to justify its completed projects yet alone, even more projects. This plan resembles something that California has done with the infamous bullet train. This proposed legislation is not needed and unwarranted. There is simply no demand for such a boondoggle. It is a land grab that will entail a great deal of eminent domain all the way from Wyoming to New Mexico. The Front Range Passenger Rail District is currently funded in part by a $3 per day rental car congestion impact fee created by Senate Bill 24-184 in the 2024 session, plus oil and gas related revenue mechanisms. What's next? Senate Appropriations is scheduled to hear SB 26-172 on Thursday, April 30th at 8:30 in the morning in Legislative Services Building Room B. If the bill clears appropriations, it would proceed to Senate second and third readings, then cross over to the House. The 2026 regular session of the Colorado General Assembly ends Wednesday, May 13th. Coloradans can register a position on the bill through CUT's CUT Engaged Action page or by contacting their state senator directly. And now, Kim's perspective. The principle of no taxation without representation is foundational, and it loses force when an appointed body that no voter chose can confer financial obligations on residents who cannot remove its members at the ballot box. The voter approval requirement in SB 26-172 is a real backstop, but it backstops only the new tax decision. It does not change who designs the project, who manages the indebtedness, or who picks the boundaries of the sub-district in the first place. Engaged citizens like Mike Rawluck are reading the actual statute, CRS 32-22, including the cross-references to CRS 32-1-1101, and showing up to testify. That work is what self-governance looks like, and it is the reason every Coloradan should know which committee is hearing which bill on which day before the session ends. May 13th. For the full article with sources and links, visit kimmonson.com. This has been a Kim Monson, Colorado News Briefing.